Hey everyone, welcome back to Unexpected Adventures in North Alabama. Joining us today is Johnny Moore, a mural artist born in Huntsville who has also created some gorgeous murals in the area. Thank you so much for being my guest today, Johnny.
Honored to be here.
I'm so excited to talk to you today. So before we jump in, tell us a little bit about yourself and your art background.
Okay, well, I can give you the simplest story was, I was about 3 or 4 years old. I was the youngest child at home at the time. And so my mom was doing something and I ended up writing on the wall and I got in trouble for it. Yes. And she put me in a corner, and understanding how 3 or 4 year olds think or not think, I ended up drawing on the wall again in the corner, because back then most of the walls were white, and I'm sitting there, nothing to do. And I ended up writing on the walls again. Now I share this story because that was my first real quote unquote memory of doing anything that could be seen as being artistic. And I actually got in trouble for it. And so I think if parents watch their children closely enough, they would show them what they're going to be. Because I'm sure my mom had no idea that I'd make most of my living putting things on walls.
Yeah. What an amazing story. Oh my goodness. I love that.
That was a seed.
Yeah.
That was a seed right there.
That is so cool. That is so cool. Now, is your mom still around to see that that's what you do now for a living?
Oh, yeah. She sees it now.
Okay,
yes.
Good. Has she apologized to you for putting you in the corner back when you were three or four years old?
Well, she remembers the story a little different, but she hasn't apologized. I think she always knew I was going to do something creative. Because I remember once when I was in high school, I was walking down the hall because all my friends, everybody said I was different, quote unquote.
Yeah.
But you never think your family feels that way about you. But I was walking to my room one day. And I heard her talk to one of her friends about me being different.
Uh-huh.
And I remember thinking, Mom, I thought you saw me as the same. I didn't say it out loud, but I remember thinking, wow, I never knew my mom saw me as being different. But, you know, so, yeah, I mean, we're a very close family, all of us. So they understand. They get me.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, and sometimes, you know, when people say you're different, that's not always a bad thing. It can be a very good thing, too. So she may have meant that in a very positive way.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure she didn't mean anything negative by it. But of course, you know, being a teenager, you don't want to be different.
Well, that is very true. Middle school, teenage years, you're like, no, I want to fit in. I want to fly under the radar. It's funny that you mentioned drawing on the walls, because a few years ago I fostered a little girl, and here just recently I was moving some furniture around to repaint this room, and I noticed that there were some crayon marks on the wall. So who knows? This little girl may be end up being a mural artist as well.
You know, Picasso said all children are artists. It's just how to get them to remain artists once they grow up.
That is so true. I know. So we get older, we get busy. I know my mom had my brother and I in art classes for years, and we've got paintings all over her house. And I still try to do some things, but, you know, if it's not your full-time job, it's hard to find that time to be creative sometimes. So
definitely understood.
Well, that is so cool. So other than murals, do you do any other kind of mediums?
Yes. I'm a creative spirit manifest in the flesh.
Okay.
So all of the art, whether it's on canvas, stage, video, it's my stop, look, and listen sign for a greater message that I seek to share. And so, yeah, I do a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. I paint on canvas. I paint on paper. I draw. I use pen and ink. I write. I'm just, like I said, a creative spirit manifest in the flesh.
So what inspires you to create the different art that you do? What inspires you on a daily basis?
Oh, that's a loaded word. Life, people, humans.
Okay.
The cosmos. I'm inspired by anything. The very fact that I wake up in the morning is an inspiration, because a lot of people did not. And because I wake up, I take that as my call to go out to the world and put my hand to my craft the best as I can do. Because I look at it as on a divine level, that is my contribution back for this life that I've been granted.
I love that. That is so cool. So take us through your process then for creating a mural, because I know, and I'm sure you would tell us, that creating a mural is probably vastly different than some of the other art that you create.
Yes, yes. Well, mural making to me is akin to an architect constructing a building or a plumber going in and laying out his network, or an electrician going in. That's pretty much the process. I did a project for Google this last year, and I was the last person, one of the last people to go in. I saw this building go up from a red clay foundation to adding in the concrete, all the other things that go into making a building. The electricians came in, I saw them doing their work, the sheetrock people, the painters, all those people came in and did the thing before I finally came in as the artist. So in that vein, I'm no different from them. But ironically, when people walk into the building, they don't notice all those other things. They look at the artwork that I put on the wall. So my process is to go in. Well, before I even go in, I get to know the community in which the art will live. And whatever the client wants, say, okay, we want to see this, you know, who's coming in here? Who's going to see this? So all those things are taken into consideration before I even design the piece. And then I look at the space and I let the piece, whatever I'm going to work on, how will it work with the space here? How would it enhance what's already here along with the message? And then, you know, I do the general sketch for them. We get the sketch approved and it's a large piece. I usually draw it to scale. I design everything to scale small. And sometimes I use the grid method, which is where I draw out the grids one foot by one foot grid and draw it out that way. But if I can, I use projection method because it's already designed on paper to scale. I'll project onto the wall and start from there. If it's indoors, indoor murals are a lot, lot more user friendly than outdoor murals in terms of weather, because you're dealing with dust flying, you're dealing with the sun, all those different things that cause the paint to dry faster. You have the moisture in the air. All those factors have to be considered when doing an outdoor mural, which is why in general, outdoor murals have a little bit more investment in terms of cost and materials.
Yeah, you got to make sure it's going to last longer with all the elements. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's
okay.
It.
Okay. Well, we usually ask our Facebook question of the week at the end, but this one fits pretty well right here. And you've already touched on some of it, but our question this week wanted to know, you know, like how you mentally prepare for such large scale products, you know, factoring in the weather and all that. Is there anything you want to add to what you've already said?
Well, mentally, I tell myself, even though no matter how challenging the project is, I was born to do this. You know, just like the eagle standing on the ledge, or that a marlin swimming through the sea, fast he goes, whatever. This is what I was born to do. So I look at the challenges. I look at how I'll deal with the challenges, and then I go in. The hardest part is getting started, because sometimes I find myself piddling, doing little things, just doing this and that to keep from getting to the thing. And I realized that's the resistance taking place. And once I fight through the resistance, you can also call that escape velocity. Once I get past that point, I'm no longer orbiting around the idea. I'm actually making it happen and going where I want to go. Once I get started, it's on. It's like once that boxer gets in the ring, you know, there's one intent. So that's where I am.
That is really beautiful, though, that you mentioned, you know, like the eagle on the, you know, on the ledge. And that is so cool. I love that you were born to do this. That is really cool. Yeah. And I used to write a lot more than I have. And I noticed that too. You talked about the piddling. You know, I always called it like the procrastination. I guess that's more negative than piddling. Sounds a little more innocent.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
But I found out in studying like the writing process that actually, like you said, like that is part of your process. It's the resistance part of it, but it is part of the process. And once you know, power through that, I love that. It's on.
And once you have to recognize it for what it is and honor it, because if you don't, it'll fight you all the way through. So when I get to the studio in the mornings, it's very rare that I go straight to the project. I'll sweep the floor. I'll water my plants. You know, I'll tend to the plants. I'll do all kinds of little things. So what I did the other week, I had a big project I was getting started. I was continuing on. And I went outside and I saw the rocks in front of my studio. I actually painted on one of the rocks. So what I did for the next number of days to get me started, I painted on a rock, you know, and it was that it's sort of it's like the warm up before the actual game. It's the pregame warm up. So those pregame warm ups, the piddling, it falls in line with procrastination, but it is also a part of the process that if we welcome it, we see it as that, and we can flow into it from there. You set some timelines. Okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to give myself an hour on the project, and I'm going to take a break and allow myself to go and do this. And then that's how you work through a project. Now, some projects are so much fun that I just go right through it. But then other ones are a little bit more challenging where I need those breaks.
So tell us about some of your work in Huntsville that we can find.
Okay. So probably the most well-known project mural is the one Space is Our Place, which is at Campus 805. Yeah, that's the one that I've seen all over the place. Even outside of Huntsville, I've seen that piece. Like that piece is really rolling. So that right there, I just completed one at Mid-City. One is actually inside of the Google Fiber building. You can see it from the street when you drive by. And there's another one across the street on the near the Metronome. I think it's still there. It was done on the outside building. And then there's also on Governor's Drive. I did that one last year as well. It's at Stove House. And it's actually facing Governor's Drive. That piece is entitled Us. There's one on Seminole Drive. There's also one inside of Deloitte, a large one inside of Deloitte at Stove House as well. There are many, multiples on the campus of Alabama A&M University, inside and outside. Let me see. Those are the ones that I can think of right now, but there are some other ones that I've done in and around the area that don't come immediately to mind. Oh, the old Garden Cove building has multiple on it.
I think I've seen some pictures of that one. Now, the mural that you were talking about at Mid-City, is it part of that? There's like a wall where there's several murals. Is it one of those on that one building?
No. Mine is up. It's further around. It's on one of the side streets, streets where the Metronome is. Yes. Because the year before, I did the largest public piece I've ever done. It was like 80 plus feet by close to the same thing in width. And it was actually done on the top floor of the garage of the Metronome, actually on the ground. And it was a temporary piece, but that was probably the most challenging because you're working, looking down. Mm-hmm. So you never really fully see the full piece while you're working on it. It's like you're like this little ant crawling around on a piece of paper, putting paint on it. And so having to run all the way across and lay the paint out. And so that was probably the most challenging project. Plus the sun was coming down and you're on the top floor of the Metronome. But once the drone went up and captured the piece, it was pretty awesome looking.
That is so cool. If you could choose a favorite of your murals that you've done, I know the look on your face. What would be your favorite and why?
That's like asking me what's my favorite child. Wow. Well, there's one that I just completed last year at the corner of, I think it's Pelham and Joseph Lowry Boulevard down near Publix downtown. And I did the piece. It's called Indeed. It was one of a girl, and she's holding a deed in one hand, a piece of paper that represents a deed. And she also has a key around her neck. And she has this very confident look as she's turning around to face the quote unquote audience. That piece was defaced literally about a week after it was done. But when I went down to take a photograph of it, I saw that her eyes were still intact, and they had this power that resonated in her eyes, even more so now in that position, in that condition. So I think that piece, if I had to pick a favorite, because I've gone back into it a little bit and I've added gold in the places where it was scraped away, and it's in progress. But to me, that symbolizes the power of art to touch people, to move the community, and to situate itself in our everyday lives.
Oh, wow. That brought tears to my eyes. Yeah. And I mean, just thinking about life in general, like when you get knocked down, when you get defaced in your own life, you know, and you still got that determination of this will not keep me down. I've got to go see that one now.
Yes. That's it.
Oh, okay.
So the goal represents, you know, like you said, with us, we have those spaces where we've been wounded, and that cicatrix, those scars, we can see them as negative. Or we can see those scars having made us stronger, and it actually adds to our beauty overall, because it's all a part of our story one way or the other.
Okay. Wow. I mean, that was really profound. That kind of caught me off guard there. That was very deep. I appreciate that. Do you have any other murals that have that kind of significance to them that you want to share the story behind?
There's so many. I've done public works, of course, sort of across this country and beyond. I think about one that we did in La Sierra in Colombia, South America. And we were told the area was very dangerous in terms of gangs and everything like that. So I knew I wanted to do something that would be uniting. In the entire time that we were actually working in the area, there were no incidents. And people came together from different sides of the track, so to speak, together at our work. And so that showed me the power of art. It's the proverbial foot of the cross, so to speak. It connects people beyond social, racial, class, all those things that divide us. Art is that thing that can bring us together. It's in essence, if you think about the mortar that holds the bricks together, oxygen that we breathe, we don't always think about it. But those things are essential to our actual life, okay? So art is the same way. People see it as something that's, oh, that's extra. No, it's not extra. It's essential.
Essential, yeah.
Yes. Once we see it as essential, I think we will, as a group of people, reevaluate its valuation and how we see artists or view artists.
Well, we've had a few mural artists on the podcast, and I kind of call it my mural artist series within the Unexpected Adventures podcast. And that is one theme that has come up with almost everyone, is that how the art, the murals will change like the whole vibe, the whole environment of a town. There was an alley in Athens that was just this really ugly alley. I mean, it really looked like something that you could get mugged in. And they turned it into Merchants Alley, and there's so many beautiful murals and artwork and doors that you open that lead to more murals, and it's changed, you know, the downtown. And so I love how you say that it, you know, it is essential, that it brings us together and we can enjoy that and I guess, you know, recognize ourselves in it.
It's multi-tiered because it works for the community, those who are passing by, because murals are, to me, it's art for the people. It's literally art of the people, because not everybody goes to galleries, not everybody goes to museums, but everybody travels and goes up and down the street. So that's art out there for everyday people in our waking lives. So the community gets something from it. Usually the businesses, they reap the benefit of it. And also the artists themselves. You know, we have to get that out of us. It's in us. We have to get it out. So that is the benefit of the arts on so many levels. And we talk about art therapy and all those things. That's another entirely different arm where art actually meets us. And we're the only creatures, as we know it, on this planet that actively thinks and creates art. I know the elephants are painting, they say, and, you know, the stuff like that. But still, we, in essence, that is something that's uniquely ours.
That is so cool. Well, what would you say in your career as an artist has been something that's unexpected? What unexpected have you experienced in this journey?
Well, I guess it's hard to say for me, because like Roald Dahl always said, it's like tales of the unexpected, yeah. Learn to expect the unexpected. I live in that space of expecting the unexpected. But I think the thing that happens that still surprises me sometimes is people's emotional response to something that I've done. I remember once I had done a portrait, this gentleman called, he wanted a portrait. I don't do much portraits anymore, many anymore, but he wanted one done, and I acquiesced and agreed to do it. And it was of his grandmother. So the day he came by to pick it up, and I'm very careful about people's families, especially those who passed away, I have them tell me about her, because I don't want to just capture a likeness. I want to embody a spirit. So they did that, and they came by, he and his brother, they came by to pick the piece up. They left, and I heard this wailing outside. And I'm thinking, what happened? Is something going on? So I ran out the door, and he was laying across his car bawling. And I walked over, and I put my hand on his shoulder, and his brother said, yeah, just the piece moved him so much. So he cleared his tears. He said, man, you captured her. And he went on to tell me how I'm looking at this charcoal on paper, how it embodied something that moved him in such a way, because it connected him to his grandmother And I knew the power of what it was then. And that was very unexpected to see that on that level.
That is so cool. Wow. That's amazing. And I love how you asked that question of, you know, tell me about her, to embody her and not just, you know, copy a picture into a painting. So that's so cool.
I take what I do just as serious and with just as much care and kid gloves, so to speak, as a doctor going into surgery. I know that whatever I put out into the world is going to live beyond my lifetime. It's not just what I put on canvas or paper or film or stage. It's what I'm actually painting in the minds of those who see the work and experience the work.
Wow. You are absolutely fascinating. I have so enjoyed this conversation.
Awesome. Lovely.
Thank you so much for being here. But before we go, I want you to tell our listeners where they can find you on social media. Do you have a page, Instagram, where they can follow you and your artwork?
Well, my Instagram page is Johnny the Artist, and that's JAHNITHEARTIST, Johnny the Artist. I have a website, but it's in the process of being overhauled right now, and that's also JohnnyTheArtist.com, okay? And I'd invite you to check out my blog, which is geared toward creatives. It's afroblastic.com. That's AFROBLASTIK. And that features my artwork and my writings as well. My goal is to inspire artists, because I know they need it. We need it. And we're a burgeoning community that touches every aspect of the society. So I'm going to always encourage the creatives.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you just from talking with you that you are definitely inspiring me. So thank you.
Awesome. That's what I live for.
You're doing an amazing job. So keep up the great work.
Thank you. Will do. Will do. Consider it done.
And I have got to find more of your murals around Huntsville for sure. That's on my list now.
And also, if you just put in Johnny the Artist, three separate words, or John Johnny Moore, and put that into your search engine, and it'll bring up things I've done around this country and beyond. That's probably the better way to find stuff.
And your Space Is Our Place, that is on our North Alabama Mural Trail, the one that Campus 805. So I just want to remind our listeners to go to northalabama.org. You can check in to the murals that's on the trail and earn prizes. So don't forget to do that as well. Well, thank you so much for being here. I so appreciate it.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to me.
Well, North Alabama's social platforms are linked in the description. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be back next time with more about North Alabama adventures.